You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's Corey Knowles.
It's Dan.
And Delatory.
Same corner, same time. Baseball team got hot this weekend, so Nick didn't tell no lies. What's up, Nick? How you feeling, baby?
I've never told a lie, sir. Not once.
Negative lies is what you tell, bro. You like
a lie has never slithered its way through these lips. I'll tell you that right now.
How is Clemson, Nick? How's the town of Clemson?
I think it would look beautiful in the fall. There's just so many trees here. It looks like they carved out just enough space to drop some football stadiums and some classrooms inside like a hilly forest. Not much to do. Had some unbelievable barbecue. And they had some great baseball. The stadium, I don't know how that hill is steep. I don't know what Dabo's doing running down that. I don't know what those guys were like jumping down that hill too.
Yeah, well, what's Clemson's deal with hills? Warning track hills, running down hills.
Yeah, the warning. Florida used to have a warning track hill. Here's your history of the day. Florida had that same thing. So Clemson, instead of a dirt warning track, it's like a small steep hill. I went out there on Friday and just like walked up it. I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
This is dumb. You're running full speed towards the wall. This has shattered ankle written all over it.
Yeah. I noticed that there's a couple misplaced balls by some Gator outfielders because of that.
When you hit it, one of the outfielders told me, he's like, yeah, when we were practicing, your eyes kind of bounce. And I was like, you're not catching a baseball if your eyes are bouncing. But Florida, McKeithen Stadium, used to have that until I think the late 70s. George Steinbrenner, the owner of the Yankees, wanted to bring his team up to play an exhibition game during spring training against Florida. He saw the field and he was like, what in the Mickey Mouse is this?
Get that rubbish out of here.
and he paid to have the field graded. He paid to have the field graded, put a warning track in, and he bought the lights. His son was getting his MBA at Florida at the time. George Steinbrenner was a longtime Bull Gator.
The Steinbrenner family donates a ton of money to UF.
The Steinbrenner family still donates money to UF academically.
Do they like NIL?
That's what they like donating academically to Florida, to the University of Florida. The Steinbrenners are big into NIL.
You know that one of the co-founders of NVIDIA is a UF. Alumni, master's program. The computer science building is named after him now. Got to figure out a way because that stock has been, I believe they are either the largest market cap company in America or the second largest right now. They just passed Apple on Friday. So need to figure that out.
We've got some shares of that and about to have 10 times as many shares.
Right. Yes. Beautiful. But at the same value. Yes.
Yep. It's you think this is a similar split to Life Wallet. The companies were scored on
the exact opposite.
Yeah, right. Okay. Polar opposites.
Right.
So they aren't like the same profit wise.
No.
Oh, okay.
They're just slightly off by I think about $3 trillion in market cap is their difference.
That's it.
That's it. Small potatoes. Appreciate everybody for joining. Alex, shout out to your dad for being on the broadcast. And Spencer, am I a shareholder? I'm not. Nick is. And so Nick will probably be leaving this podcast to go enjoy Antilles or Canary Islands or somewhere fun for his retirement here in the near future. We got a big show to get into. Gators advancing in the College World Series. Men's track wins back-to-back-to-back national champions in outdoor track and field. Parker Valby is a five-time champion. We'll go over all of that. Silk, give us the rundown of your weekend. What'd you do, my friend?
Man, unfortunately, I didn't catch any baseball, man. I went back on the timeline, seeing you guys having a blast with the tweets and everything. Shout out to the baseball team for having a wonderful weekend. But I work. I had an interview with Jordan Scarlett, spent some time with the family, but you know, that was fun too. Jordan Scarlett, normally very quiet. I've been around him before in the past. But he's maturing a little bit and getting a little bit more verbal.
Good.
But he has some great Will Grill stories, some great McElwain Mullen stories. We're dropping it this Thursday, so make sure y'all tune in. But a very good conversation. We also sat down with Sam Bruce's mom. Had a conversation, the late Sam Bruce, who passed away. But that was it. Just hung out with the family.
And go check out the Deontay Thompson interview. I was fortunate enough when I was at UF and worked in the recruiting department to talk to Deontay when he was in high school, and then got to know him a bit in college. Completely different dude. So I'll be honest with you.
100%.
Was a struggle a bit to have some communication with him back in the day, but incredible interview, really cool stories to watch there. If you didn't check out our Stephen Harris interview from last week, one of the best interviews I think that we've ever had. Quick programming announcement too. We are going to probably be shifting a bit more towards the evenings. We might still do some mornings every once in a while, but the evening shows just, there's something about them. They just hit a little bit differently. So we're gonna work on that a bit over the next couple of weeks and couple of months as we gear into football season. We're also going to bring on Chris Phillips from SEC Unfiltered. He's been on the show a number of times. He used to cover the Gamecocks for his own private channel, but he'll be joining the show here soon. But before we bring Chris on, Nick, the big news of the day, Gators sweep Clemson in Clemson, the number six overall seed there. Gators are now, I believe, 7-1 or 6-1 in the postseason. They are heading to Kevin O'Sullivan's 9th, I believe, College World Series, Nick.
Yeah, y'all, 9.
Y'all fire Sully, 16. Like the people fired Sully like a couple weeks ago too, man. That's crazy.
Sully gets fired not every midweek loss, but more midweek losses than not, he gets fired. This will be 9 trips in 17 years, but 2020 they didn't have a tournament. So 9 times in 16 chances since Kevin O'Sullivan got to Florida. Florida's season has ended in Omaha, Nebraska. Had to break it to my wife, let her know, hey, honey, I'm summering in Nebraska again.
Right, yeah.
So I'll be flying out on Wednesday to – begin my annual trip to the middle of the country.
Yeah, God's country. We don't know when the Gators are going to play yet. I know there's still games going on
Saturday.
Today. Saturday,
but we don't know if they're the afternoon or night game. I think we will get the full schedule after Georgia plays today. But with Kentucky winning yesterday, the entire field for the College World Series will be SEC and ACC teams.
Wow. All right.
SEC, ACC Invitational.
All right. So Nick, give us, before Chris comes on, Chris was at the game yesterday. So Gators do win yesterday, 11-10. They won the game on Saturday, 10-7. Yesterday was probably the game that we'll talk about. Obviously, it was great to get the first win, but the second one was wild. We had a player thrown out. So much so that the coach called the player onto the field so the umpire could throw him out of the game.
Honestly, that's I love that move for a manager. Like the umpire is telling the manager, like, hey, this guy's going to be thrown out.
Yeah.
You should go tell him.
Did he not think the umpire would do it, or like did the umpire?
No. And Eric Backage is like, excuse me, you're throwing that. So the player that was thrown out was thrown out for leaving his position.
Right.
His position was running on second base after hitting a double.
Right.
So they make the third out, and he rounds third. Now, he aggressively runs into the pile.
Yeah, yeah. But
if I'm playing as his public defender here, my client was just running back to the dugout, and there was a fracas in front of him.
There was. What was he to do? As somebody that cares deeply about the sanctity of baseball,
yes,
and morality, this is a game. This is a game where we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And it was just disappointing to watch Clemson throughout the entire game just really disrespect the sanctity of the sport Really just the overall attitude, some bat throws to get multiple coaches. Nick, it's just, it's embarrassing for the game that I grew up loving so deeply in my heart of hearts, just deeply disappointed. And then to see multiple coaches get thrown out of the game, including Kevin O'Sullivan's mentor when he was at Clemson and had former head coach, just more than anything, I'm proud of the boys for keeping their head up and
rising playing above the right hate. Way.
Playing the rise above hate. Rise above
the Ray UGA
for go Florida Gators, Florida go SEC.
Oh man! So I thought that was weird. Like that's the guy that. So then we ended up getting told. They also the NCAA does a terrible job of telling the press box
NCAA
does a terrible job. But pause or period, full stop. They do a terrible job of explaining what's going on. So like we thought later in the game that the both benches have been warned. A guy gets a home run in the 13th inning and goes full Rob Gronkowski spike of the bat. And the umpire points at him. And I'm like, okay, he's going to get tossed. As soon as he hits home, he's going to get tossed.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. And the umpires go and they go to like talk about it. And that's what led the coaches to yelling from the dugout. And that's why they got tossed, because they didn't want the player to be thrown out for celebrating a home run, because heaven forbid that 4 hours and 45 minutes into a baseball game, you hit a home run in the top of the 13th inning to potentially save your team's season. You enjoy that with your team a little bit. So I thought they were going to toss him.
Do you think the manager had made it to his clubhouse folding chair to watch the end of the game before it was over?
No, but honestly, once he got thrown out, he aggressively came back out in the field.
That was disappointing. There's kids in the audience, Nick.
He turns around, and Eric Backich turns around like a WWE fighter after getting tossed. Get your money's worth. If you're going to get tossed, get your money's worth after. But turns around and just fires the crowd up. The crowd was already on it, because that play that happened was in the second inning. Pushing and shoving, and we can get into more of it with Chris, but it was an electric atmosphere at Clemson. That the fan base was not happy early. Every time they saw Jack Caglione, they were booing. They booed the umpire for a solid three innings.
I feel that.
With like mild clapping for strikes, and then directly back into the booing.
I wish I didn't watch the post game press conference or anything. Did Kevin O'Sullivan like speak to the crowd, like for ESPN or anything? It would have been great to hit him with the Will Muschamp. It's great to see all these people out here. I know he doesn't have that kind of personality, but that would have been it. All right, we got Chris Phillips from SEC Unfiltered joining the show. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. You'll get 15% off of your orders. They have the baseball pullovers. They have the starter looking jackets. They've got about 20 different shirts for the University of Florida, about 100 different schools around the country, as well as the Indianapolis Colts. So go check them out. Home Field Apparel, been a longtime sponsor of this program. We really appreciate you guys continuing to go on and buy from them. Again, promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. And with that, we're going to bring on friend of the program, Chris Phillips, to the show. Chris, how are you doing today, my friend?
What's going on, guys? I'm doing well. What a weekend of baseball. What a day of baseball yesterday. I thought for a second there that game was never going to end. But electric, man. It's hard to put into words what we watched yesterday. I think you guys nailed it with a great game that unfortunately was taken over by the umpires in a lot of different instances. But yeah, man, Florida continues to feel like the team of destiny. You know what I mean? Just continue to find ways to get in. And you guys would have gotten a good laugh in, because I had some folks sitting next to me yesterday that I'm telling you, the entire game, obviously pulling for Clemson, entire game, all I heard was SEC bias this, Clemson is better in every facet that, Florida should have never been in. They should have been in this position. And I'm just kind of sitting there, you know, I'm obviously the SEC guy. Like, I'm just going to take it. Like, I have no interest in having a spat back and forth. But
you were wearing very neutral colors yesterday. You weren't wearing SEC. Did you wear a hat?
They knew I was SEC Unfiltered. So we had the little placards down there on the table. Like,
okay, yeah.
We had conversation throughout the game. They were sitting literally right next to me. So they knew who I was. So it was friendly convo, but it was quite entertaining.
You should have had that Kendrick Lamar. You should have that Kendrick Lamar song on your phone, man. Oh, they not like us. Just play that and start like dancing a little bit in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, what I wanted to say, and again, you pick and choose your battles, right, is SEC bias, sure, but I mean, when you win as many College World Series and go to as many finals as the SEC has, I think you kind of earn the benefit of the doubt and the bias, and we're seeing it with Florida. I mean, again, I think what this is highlighting more so, guys, the run we're seeing is that, you know, for whatever reason, just how severely Florida underachieved during the regular season, because here's the thing, guys, like what people will say is like Florida is hot. And they are. They're red hot. But not everybody's capable of getting this hot. Like Florida was, because they are immensely loaded with talent. And it's finally all clicking and coming to fruition and everything. So, I mean, dude, listen, to go into Doug Kingsmore, a place that was electric, a place that was rocking, to go in there and just the clean sweep, that was wildly impressive, man. And I thought early on, honestly, after the Jack Caglione, the Rocky first base antics that went down, the collision, whatever it was, the way Doug Kingsmore got lit up, I thought maybe Clemson, okay, they got the momentum, they're going to run with things, but it's just like Florida continued to punch back every time they ran into adversity. So you got to give the Gators a lot of credit, man, but that's a baseball game. That's probably the craziest baseball game I've ever seen in person. I mean, that game had everything in it.
Yeah.
They let Florida in the club, and now they're acting crazy up in there.
Well, they're still pitching to Jack Caglione.
Tequila shots. Florida got into the club, and they were like, how much time do we have to drink?
Hey, here's my thing. Maybe this is speaking from that SEC privilege spot, and I don't mean to, but, like, would you have – and I think College of Charleston should have been in. That does not mean I think Florida shouldn't have. Those two things can both be true and stand alone. But people that didn't want Florida in, would you have rather made a point and had some mid-major team get in that probably would have went 2-Q in the regionals? Like, would that have made your point more so? Or would you rather give the opportunity to a team that, listen, the record was not great, they underachieved at every turn, but they had the number one strength of schedule and, you know, grinded through an SEC slate. Like, I'd rather give that team the opportunity, guys. Like, I want the 8 best teams in Omaha. You know what I mean? So, whoever those are, let them rise to the occasion. But, like, what are we talking about? Like, you'd rather, like, let's not pretend that, like, the mid-major level and the schedule they're playing is the same as what Florida went through. Like let's not do that. You know what I mean? So, anyways, I think you can make the case some other teams should have been in. That's a whole different conversation for the day. But also Florida should have been in, was the way I felt on Selection Day. But, I mean, again, man, give the Gators credit. They're making the most of it, and to come from – down in the loser's bracket in Stillwater all the way to Omaha is just, you know, you couldn't have scripted it any better.
Yeah, no, running on a 4-game win streak right now. Gators, I think, put it all out there yesterday with all the pitching and everything else that they did. You know, I felt like Sully was probably managing that game to win that one. I think if they would have probably had to go today, it would have been – that would have been a tough battle for the Gators. Chris, your perspective, it's now June 10th, 2024. Jack Caglione is a top 5 MLB draft pick. Why are teams still pitching to him?
That's a great question. I think Clemson finally learned their lesson late in the game. I will tell you this. They pitched to him. What was that, Nick, in the 12th inning, I think? Maybe 13th.
The 12th inning with a sophomore lefty. My goodness.
That took stones to pitch to him. So I will give that kid credit. But for the most part, it's not a good idea. It's just not. That's not a guy you want to pick a fight with, if you will. And I think Clemson finally learned that after the first at bat, but the fact that it took that long. Also, guys, Jack Caglione, not a Golden Spikes Award finalist, so I'm sure folks in Gainesville are thrilled over that news.
Let's get your opinion. I was a little quiet on that because I think all three of those guys are deserving to be on that list. I think Travis Bazzana has had a great season. He's probably the best MLB prospect, second base MLB prospect in more than a decade, but that's not what the award's for. So to me, it's like, yeah, those three guys deserve to be honored on that list. But over Jack Caglione, I think the biggest thing Florida fans had problems with was Travis Bazzana's offensive numbers, very similar to Jack Caglione's, which that's crazy because Jack's having a monster season, but Jack does pitch. And I think the issue there is, yes, Jack does so much, but Jack wasn't an excellent pitcher this year in terms of his numbers. If you stack his pitching numbers up against some of the best pitchers in the SEC, they don't stack up with a Hagen Smith or guys like that. So Hagen Smith had better numbers in the SEC than Paul Skeens did last year.
But he also didn't hit 32 home runs, Nick. You know what I mean?
I don't know when the last time Hagen Smith swung a bat.
You know what I mean? I think at that point, you gotta look.
32, yeah.
You gotta look at what
33 now, Daniel. 33 now. He's hit
33.
66 home runs.
Also hasn't hit 32 home runs, let alone
that's 33. Right. That's right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I would say of the three guys, obviously, that, you know, Jack Caglione does something none of them do. He's a two-way. You know what I mean? He's a two-way. None of those guys are a two-way. And so, I mean, it is tough. Like, who do you take off the list, right? Because all three are fantastic players. But it does seem like, guys, with these awards, that a lot of it – like, I knew Charlie Condon was going to be named SEC Player of the Year. I'm not saying that's the wrong pick. But, like, when you have – I feel like you need to generate – it's kind of like winning the Heisman Trophy, like, right? Like, it's just as important to generate momentum and buzz and hype as it is to produce on the field. You need both, I think, like the great story. Like, I think that's what Charlie Condon had going for him, and the fact that Georgia overachieved and they continue to overachieve and they were a great story this year, right? Like, I think that helped Charlie Condon's case. And I think, guys, like, let's face it, I think Jack Caglione got punished because his team was not great this year or did not perform well in the regular season. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. That's not fair, but I think that had something to do with it. So, I mean, to your point, guys, it's like, who do you take off? It's tough to take one of those guys off, but, man, I mean, it's just, when will we see another Jack Caglione? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think people really give enough credit to how tough it is to do what he's doing, which is be a two-way. Like, yeah, he wasn't Hagen Smith this year on the mound, but neither was anybody else. You know what I mean? He was a really solid Sunday guy. And I mean, even yesterday, guys, you know, did he pitch great against Clemson? I don't know that he was great, but I mean, in this offensive game, and you're pitching at a place like Doug Kingsmore where it's just like a bomb box, like, he didn't pitch bad. He gave Florida more than enough of a chance to win. So, like, you know, there's nobody else in the country that could do that on a week in, week out basis and could swing it the way he does. So, yeah, that was questionable. Guys, by the way, going back to the Florida-Clemson game, I want to make sure, because I've been thinking about this since the end of the game yesterday, and I saw, Nick, you gave him his roses. But, man, I tell you what, Brandon Neely might be the MVP of that Super. And going back to the regional, too. I mean, that kid, to come back after throwing on Saturday, to come back a day later, and I know he gave up the three-run home run, but, I mean, that is the definition of a guy pitching his guts out. And, like, you don't think Brandon Neely wants to go to Omaha, throws 120-something, 130 pitches in 2 days. I mean, that's crazy, man. So, Brandon Neely, you know, kudos to that kid. Kevin O'Sullivan just said, I'm going to ride my horse till as long as I can. And, you know, Florida's bullpen deserves a lot of credit. But Brandon Neely, man, I think we need to make sure that his name doesn't get lost in the shuffle, because I thought he was the hero for Florida yesterday, honestly.
Yeah, he threw 131 pitches in the Clemson regional. He also threw 141 pitches in the Stillwater regional.
There was a moment yesterday where I was like, they're going to throw him till his arm falls off. Like, they just kept throwing him back out there. I just kept sending him back out there.
Yeah, Kevin O'Sullivan does not – like, he gets arms to campus because he protects arms. Right. Florida has a bunch of injuries in the bullpen. And we were talking about before the game, and I said, Brandon Neely's going to be on the card today. And some people were like, there's no way. He threw 59 pitches. And I was like, if Florida is in a situation, a close-the-game-out, punch-your-ticket-to-Omaha situation, 22 will be on the mound. They would like for it to be three. But Jake Clemente starts getting a little wild, in the eighth inning or in the seventh inning. And you had to bring Neely in, asked him to get six outs. I was like, this is stretching it. But that was Kevin O'Sullivan pushing all of his chips in, because the way that game plays out with how much Neely threw, like, Neely's not available today. I can tell you that right now. There's no situation, not on the card. They don't even give him a jersey today. So that was Kevin O'Sullivan and Florida pushing their chips all in. It's like, hey, we have to win this game. And Brandon Neely, people were asking me, like, he's got 35 pitches. The game's getting close. When are they going to take him out? I'm like, when the game is over. They will take, yeah, him out when the game's over.
He was electric. I mean, that game, again, man, that game, it had everything, man. We had, had a Injections. Guy have his hat checked. We had a guy named Titsworth take the mound. I mean,
the double zeros. Oh my God. Double zeros. So this freshman runs out there.
Zeros.
Last name is Titsworth, and his jersey number is 00. I was like, this kid.
This is a game out of a movie, you know?
Cam Canarella. So I was telling them, Cam Canarella's got a shoulder injury. Man. You were telling me that. So he's got a hurt wing. Two outs. You've got a runner on second, so you're playing in. Ashton Wilson, who is the actual Walt Disney story that they might not even make the movie because it doesn't make any sense, hits a ball to the wall. He channels Willie Mays, runs up a stupid hill, catches the ball over his shoulder in a bread basket while jumping into a wall to save their season. He's the guy that hits the 3-run homer.
And if you saw on that catch, Nick, what's wild is I went back and watched it. Like, he didn't actually even make the catch in the glove. It was, like, in the palm. And then he brings his hand and grabs the ball. Like, it didn't – you know, I mean, it was – that was one of the best catches I've ever seen. That was
– It is. Kevin O'Sullivan said the same. You had Eric Backich going full WWE after getting tossed, pumping the crowd up. The place was electric. That was – it's one of the games where – no team deserves to lose that game.
Yeah, Clemson deserved to lose.
Okay. I'm glad, as from a writing standpoint, I'm glad that I covered the team that won. Cause like, I don't know that anyone's reading what I'm writing. That's Florida losing and we're getting ready to play a game here on Monday. But I wrote last night that was the best game I'd watched since I was an 8-year-old at Joe Robbie Stadium for game 7 of the 97 World Series, which is an extra inning game with Edgar Renteria lining one up.
Nick's
in the middle.
Just flexing on everybody that he was there.
He's flexing them gray hairs with the Joe Robbie Stadium quote.
Silk, I know you have a question. I want to give a quick shout out to Jason Yulee real quick. Give Sully props this season. If Georgia wins today, Florida will be the only team to make the Men's College World Series without having home field advantage throughout. Great show, guys. Appreciate you. And Dan Glockner, I know that you were at the game yesterday. Two best games that he's been to, exhausted and sunburnt. Totally worth it. Go Gators. He also gave a shout-out to the catch. Silk, I know you had a question earlier.
Yeah, how does our pitching staff look going forward? I know it's been a rough season of pitching. What do you guys feel about the pitching committee going forward and like to Omaha and whatnot?
I mean, I think that's the big question for Florida, right, guys? Here's the interesting thing, guys. I think you look at these teams, whether it's Georgia or NC State, by the way, in Omaha, I don't think anybody left really has, like, elite-level starting pitching. Like, even Tennessee, who's the one seed, like, they have good starting pitching, but it's not – nobody's got a Hagan Smith. Nobody's got a Chase Burns. Nobody's got the kid from East Carolina whose name escapes me. Nobody's got that front
line. Matt Root.
Yeah, nobody has a Paul Skeens. Like, nobody's got that frontline guy. So, like, I think you're going to continue to see high-scoring games, which is probably going to favor Florida because, again, I think Florida's got a bunch of dudes, and all these teams do, that if they turn it on, right, can throw out there and spin a gem. But, you know, I think that'll be the question, right? I mean, Liam Peterson's been so hit or miss, and, you know, Jack's going to give you a quality start, I think, most of the time. And Brandon Neely's going to be a stud. But, you know, the rest of it, I mean, does Fisher Jameson continue to pitch well? Do these other guys out of the bullpen? So, I think for a lot of teams, I think that's the question. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to dodge the question in any way. But I think most of these teams in Omaha, that is going to be the top question for them, is who's going to get the most consistency out of the pitching. I think that's
– And I wonder how much Virginia, Florida – in Tennessee, we're all there. Most of their rosters have experienced that because it's a really cool environment. But I've talked to a couple guys from like 17, 18 that have been there, and they're like, dude, when you step on the field and there's 25,000 people, like, holy crap. Like, that's different. I wonder how much that plays into. Like, we talk about it a lot, I think, about like the NBA. It's almost like, hey, you got to go to the finals and lose to get that experience to then be able to get over the hump. I wonder how much just the familiarity with the venue and that stage helps the teams, the three teams who are going back this year.
I mean, I would definitely say it would help. You know, I mean, I've obviously never been on that stage before, but at least having the nucleus of your ball club with that familiarity, you know, you never stop having those butterflies. But to your point, Nick, like none of these guys have played in front of a, you know, I mean, take the biggest crowd in the SEC and double it. Like that's what you're facing. So, you know, I think the butterflies will be there for them certainly, but yeah, I think having that experience of last year, getting down to the very end, and I think experience helps. I think experience helps. So, I mean, listen, I think Florida is, I would imagine the mindset is going to be, and I heard, it's funny, I heard Tony Vitello say this last night too after their post game, which I think it would apply to a Florida a little more, which is playing with house money. I mean, I would think you're going to see a Florida team that's loose, that's excited to be there, not just happy to be there, but is excited to be there and knows that maybe they weren't quote unquote supposed to be there. And I think that chip on the shoulder and that motivation, man, like I think you're looking for anything to motivate a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds. And I think using that, you know, I mean, maybe Florida's the team of destiny, man. I'm starting to really get team of destiny vibes from this Gators team. It feels a lot like 22 for Ole Miss. I don't know if it's going to end up that way, but it certainly feels that way right now. So, I mean, listen, it's really simple, guys. You need to pitch well. You need to play great defense. Need time. You need your stars to be stars, right? Like Jack Caglione needs a big College World Series. Like some of the other guys in the lineup need to step up and play big roles. So, I mean, I think Florida could do it.
Shouldn't have let him in the club, Silk. They're acting ignorant up there now. Man,
now you got to
order in bottles.
Oh, my goodness. The bottles have been ordered.
You're taking sections.
Casa Azul's out, and they're ready to get going.
They don't know when to leave.
Florida snuck in the club, and now they're standing on tables waiting for bottle service.
They're around a Bitcoin millionaire just ready to roll. You know what I mean?
It's like Ric Flair in the one spot. Yeah.
It's like Ric Flair at a local Italian pizzeria in Gainesville. Trev had a question on the schedule. I want to run through that real quick. So far, 7 of the 8 teams have punched their ticket to beautiful Omaha, Nebraska. Tennessee will play Florida State in game 1. Virginia and North Carolina will play in the second bracket. Kentucky will play the winner of NC State and Georgia. They'll play today at 7 p.m. if you're interested in rooting on the Wolfpack. And then Florida will play Texas A&M, and we are waiting to see if that game will be Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. Yes.
Isn't it so interesting, guys? I was looking at that schedule too, and you know, especially if Georgia wins, it's like,
yeah,
I'm excited for the matchups, but I'm like, this is just another weekend in the SEC. It feels like this is kind of like this is the SEC tournament all over again. You know what I mean? Like,
well, let's not do that, Chris. That was a very quick trip for the Gators.
Well, from the standpoint of the conference matchups, I'm just like, well, kind of feel like we sort of just did this in Hoover, although everybody's going to be throwing their best pitcher. So a little bit of a different dynamic. But
if Georgia wins, Florida's whole bracket is SEC teams.
That's crazy. I mean,
yeah. So, yeah, their side of the bracket would be Kentucky, NC State, Georgia, and then Florida and Texas A&M. The winners will play each other. The losers will obviously play each other. The rules in Omaha are
double elimination
until you get to the semifinals, and then the semifinals, and then finals, and then it's best of 3 for the finals.
Yeah, I'm excited, guys. I'll be making my first Omaha trip, so I'll be out there Thursday through Monday. So very, I mean, like a dream come true, kind of like sports bucket list thing. So I'm very pumped.
Well, Nick is a local out there, so he'll have to show you around. I need
Omaha Rex from Nick. I know Rocco's. I've heard the Drover, obviously, for steak is
there will be steak. Go-to.
So I will be going to both destinations, I can assure you, and many others as well, I'm sure. So
I think I pay property taxes in Omaha now.
I want a little piece of real estate out there. I love that. I love that. But no, it's going to be fun, guys. I mean, again, if you look at it from the Florida perspective, man, I mean, why not the Gators? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you're
making
a pick and you're throwing a bet down. I mean, by the way, guys, I'm a quote unquote neutral party in this, but I will tell you, by the way, before the season, I threw down 5 futures bets on College World Series champions: Arkansas, Wake Forest, LSU, Texas, and the Florida Gators. So
you should have doubled down around May. Would have gotten some crazy odds.
Yeah,
Florida College World Series champions.
I didn't feel nearly as confident at that point.
Well, yeah.
You know, but
that's why you doubled down.
The odds in May or April would have paid for a mortgage payment.
Yeah,
that's when we stopped covering it.
Payout is still like $25 to win like a couple hundred. So
okay,
Chris. You know, I mean, Chris, these guys allow me to talk baseball during baseball season for 5 to 10 minutes a week.
Yeah,
I was banned from talking baseball.
Yes.
In the middle of SEC.
For obvious reasons.
We're done. Yeah. We're not talking about the baseball right. team.
It was not me and Dan. It was really more the fans.
It was you and
the fans. Nobody wanted you to talk about it.
Yeah, the fans was like, yo, stop Nick from talking about baseball because he's just talking us into a hole.
And now we've got a couple hundred people watching. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a call to the bullpen when needed. And here we are. You got to close.
I say all that to say I will not be mad if Florida hoists that trophy and I cash a bet. That's all I'm saying. So.
Yeah. Chris, we appreciate you coming on the show, my friend. I know that you've been on the show since you moved over to SEC Unfiltered, but why don't you give us a little plug what SEC Unfiltered's doing? You guys have a lot of great coverage, a couple great analysts covering SEC Unfiltered if you're looking for a overall holistic SEC view.
Yeah, Dan, Nick, Corey, it's always a pleasure, man. You guys do a great job with Stadium and Gale. And, SEC Unfiltered, man, we're all across social media, X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you get your content, YouTube, podcast. We're also live on the daily, partnered up with our friends over at Texas Sports Unfiltered. No, they're not under us. We're not under them. Just kind of a happy coincidence with the name, but they're a Texas Longhorns entity, and we brought SEC Unfiltered over to their platform for a daily live show, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 4 Central. So we talk all things SEC, obviously, there, and it's myself. We got a couple other creators, Cole Thompson, Dave Shoemate, some of my right-hand guys that we chop it up every day. So it's a lot of fun, man. And like I said, we'll be at the College World Series this weekend and all throughout the week, and really excited, man. It's been a blast thus far. So, yeah, just check us out anywhere. You get your content, man, SEC Unfiltered. Of course, our website as well, secunfiltered.com. But appreciate you guys having me, man. It's always a blast.
Likewise, man. Thanks so much, Chris. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
See you in Omaha.
See you in Omaha, Nick.
That's wild. I'm going to Omaha, Nebraska.
Again.
Is Omaha known for their steaks? That's why they like they call Omaha steaks? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, buddy.
Beef-fed beef out there.
Another fun fact, I'm full of dandy facts today. Omaha, per my Uber driver in 2017,
so this will be good.
This is the source of the information. only the most fact-checked information here for you.
Nick's had this information for 7 years and never fact-checked it. Go ahead, Nick.
Omaha, this I usually bust this out after a couple of drinks while in Omaha.
Pause. Yo. Yeah. Sound like a Jameis Winston.
Bust what out, Uber Nick, ride. After a couple of drinks. Yeah.
No, yo. Listen. Slow no down, diddy. Big fella. No diddy.
No diddy.
Omaha has the most billionaires per capita of any state or any city in the country. Thanks to Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett getting the people close to him to invest in Berkshire Hathaway from the ground up. And apparently they didn't leave. Just thought Omaha was the titsworth and wanted to stay.
As an Uber driver, that would be something I never share with like anybody I'm driving. Like, mm-hmm. Yo, this is probably the richest city and I'm driving Ubers.
You gotta start somewhere.
While that true, tale is great, Nick.
This will be a fact I would share.
It is untrue.
I thought it was Arkansas. New York?
Arkansas has one of the highest collections.
Bentonville, Fayetteville area.
Yeah, Bentonville has one of the highest collections of private planes per capita. But New York City, as you can imagine, has 1.3 billionaires per capita. So they have 112 total. But
Uber driver led me astray.
No. I mean, it's Omaha is a city that probably has its a higher share of billionaires than you would otherwise expect. And I don't like to fact check you, Nick. So if you find that Uber driver, let him know. Hey,
you took him for his word. That's crazy.
Shout out to to Warren Buffett and to shout out to Berkshire Hathaway. Omaha is nice, surprisingly clean. I went to the College World Series in 2011. I think it has grown a lot since then. And then Michelle gave us a stat here. UFC only school to send a team to both the women's and men's College World Series. So shout out to the everything school.
Shout out to the stick sports.
Lacrosse was Final Four. Those are the three stick sports, right? Baseball, softball, and lacrosse.
We don't have a cricket team?
Yeah.
No. Cricket. Shout out to the U.S. men's T20 cricket team for beating Pakistan. Biggest upset in sports history last week. So go America. as a lifelong cricket fan. It was great to see our T20 team.
Do they like golf clap in cricket, or is big time celebration? I don't know how to celebrate that.
Oh yeah, men's hockey. Shout out to men's hockey. They were national champions in club sports, and I believe Florida has a Quidditch team. Don't know how they did. So yeah,
magical.
Yeah, men's tennis, that's a racket, so we won't call that a stick. Men's
tennis is a racket.
Yeah, men's and women's tennis is a racket. So shout out to us and all that we do. It'd be really cool to see it in football, but we'll take it where we can get it.
I don't know what the streak is, Dan, if you can find it, but there's a national championship consecutive years with a national championship in one of the 21 sports. I think Mouse is doing a lot of the heavy lifting for that streak, but the men's team going back-to-back-to-back extended that streak. It's because track is so much an individual sport, right, on top of being a team sport, kind of like, you know, college golf. But just what Mouse has been able to do as both the men's and the women's coach, recruiting the elite talent, developing, coaching them, and then to the men and women on those teams for performing. Parker Valby might be the greatest like mid-distance runner in college track and field history. Mm-hmm. We turned on one of the races out in Oregon. I don't know if it was the 5 or the 10, but she's like running miles while like laughing and like talking to the other girls. And then all of a sudden in her head, it's like, oh, it's time to like finish the race. And then she's gone like mid conversation. She's like, oh, all right, see you later. Bye. And it just takes off.
Let's talk track and field. Let's get a quick ad read here. Got to pay our sponsors. Let's give a quick shout out to an old sponsor that has come back and a product that we're a fan of. Our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks, they are back in full swing here. Here's a beautiful picture of a cup that you can get from them. Go check out Game Time Sidekicks. Great cups, do a great job keeping liquids hot or cold, depending on what you want. A lot of different varieties for not only just the University of Florida, but a bunch of other schools out there. They're also playing a little bit in the NIL game. So I know a lot of you guys have bought from them in the past. Would encourage you guys to update your stock with some Game Time Sidekicks cups. Again, I use them all the time. This one has a lot of wear and tear on it from the few years that I've been using it. So go check them out. GameTimeSidekicks.com. Promo code STADIUM15 at checkout will give you 15% off of your order. So again, GameTimeSidekicks.com. STADIUM15 at checkout will get you 15% off of your order. All right. So you guys were touching on it a little bit. Pause. The Gators have now won 42 team NCAA championships in all sports, 353 individual or relay NCAA championships as well. For track and field, this is the men's 7th. Track and field to go along with their 5th, or to go along with their 5, pardon me, in indoor track and field. They are now the back-to-back-to-back national champions in men's track and field, which is just incredible. It is the 12th overall national championship earned by the Florida men's team and 15th overall for the Gators. All 12 of those national men's titles have come under Mike Holloway. The Gators got 41 points to win the overall tournament. So congratulations to Stadium Miguel alum Mouse Holloway. We got to get him back on the show. Got to get him back on the show. Want to give the flowers to Wanya McCoy, Robert Gregory, Javon Powell, the Powell-McCoy-Smith Band-Gregory group for the 4x1, the Hales-Powell-Prude-McIver group for the 4x4, Malcolm Clemens, Sean Dixon-Bodie, and Kai Chang for winning. They won the tournament by 1 point over Auburn. So congratulations to the men's team in track and field. And then, Nick, you were talking a little bit about watching Parker Valby run. The Gators ultimately finished in 2nd place in the track and field championships. Arkansas just has some incredible mid-distance runners, and the Gators sat in 1st for a while, but there was a 4x4 that Arkansas won by. They set the record, but also won by probably 10 or 15 seconds in that race. But do want to give Parker Valby her flowers. She ended up setting the outdoor 5K collegiate record, 6 NCAA individual titles, and 4 of them came in 2024. She won the national championship in cross country. She was the first person to ever run under 19 minutes during that race. She won the indoor 5K in 14 minutes and 52 seconds, which is just nuts. She won by 22.22 seconds there. She won the NCAA indoor 3K at 8 minutes and 41 seconds. And then at this tournament, she won the NCAA 10K in 31 minutes, 46 seconds. She won by nearly 6 seconds there. And then at the NCAA outdoor 5K, not only did she lap a runner at the end of the race, she ran a 14-minute, 52-second 5K, which is just absolutely bonkers. She won by nearly 18 seconds. So shout out to Parker Valby.
Some of y'all are running 14-minute miles.
That's nuts to run 3.1 miles.
What's your mile, Nick?
My best mile ever was
– No, now.
God.
He's like that 14.
yeah. I'm y'all. I'm y'all.
You said y'all, so I was trying to see, like, are you excluded, bro? Like,
listen, let's not test it.
I know Spencer is in the chat. Spencer's a cross country guy. I want to know what he ran, but that it was absolutely bonkers to watch her run that 5K. I missed the 10K the day before. Michelle mentioned that she ran the 10K the day before. It was absolutely bonkers. Her and a girl from Arkansas were leading the pack most of the race. And then about a lap and a half to go, she just took off and she didn't even look very winded at the end. So just an incredible shout out to her. She technically has 1 year left of college eligibility, but I don't believe that we will be seeing her exercise that option going into next year. But one of the greatest distance runners in college history.
One of the greatest distant runners, Spencer. He said he'd do a 5K in 15 seconds.
Spencer says he runs a 4:42 mile and then his best K is in the 15 second range. So I think it's in the 15 minute
moving.
Range.
But, eyes moving.
Blur. Yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to the blur.
Shout out to the actual Flash.
Yeah.
But let's see, want to give the flowers to women's sports as well. Grace Stark, she won her race in the 100-meter hurdles. Flomina Askall, I'm just going to go through who placed. She placed Elise Thorner, Parker Valby twice, Claire Bryant, and Thaya Carlton. Alita Van Dalen placed in both shot put and discus. Gators lose by 4 points, ultimately coming in second. Nothing to scoff at. So congratulations to them. Jeremy Carpenter had a 5-minute mile in high school. So, all right. Shout out to those that can run a 5-minute mile. I'm in the solid mid eights. So congratulations to me. Nick, question from Trav. Do you know where they're staying? Are they staying at the Evan Hotel again? For those that want to even. I look and learn to read.
I don't. They it's based on, I remember talking it because Florida was a little bit far. The Evan Hotel was a little bit farther away. It made it harder for them to be able to.
Like in the suburbs of Omaha?
No. There's like a little downtown area, kind of like an old town that has a lot of restaurants, bars, some shopping. And Florida was like, they had the Uber, and we already heard about the lion ass Uber drivers, in Omaha. Still bitter about that. They do it. The NCAA just assigns a team's hotel. So I don't know that they will be back at the Even Hotel, or if they'll be somewhere else.
Where are you staying, Nick? So people can follow you. Get your
thank you.
Stalk you.
No, thank you. You can catch me at the casino in Iowa.
In Iowa, yeah. Council Bluffs.
People just want to bring you some positivity, man. Tell them where you at, dog. They just want to
bring you some positive casino, vibes. The casino, I made a generous donation last year. I'm coming back to get what I left.
I think I remember you talking about that. You were down pretty big.
It was tough.
Jeremy asked who Florida's playing. Florida's playing Texas A&M to start on Saturday at either the afternoon game or the evening time. So we will get to that.
Find you, bro.
That's tough.
Spencer's going to do a random fire drill.
Sounds like bad intentions. Yeah, but I don't need Spencer doesn't need to know where I'm staying.
Are you staying at the hotel at the casino, Nick?
No, that's bad news. That would be tough.
Casinos don't lose, bro. That's one thing I like. They keep building them. They keep like expanding. They got apps now. You know, like
they don't build palaces in the desert for being wrong.
No. So good luck with your revenge.
They don't build Harrah's out in the middle of nowhere in Iowa for being wrong.
For sure. Love Iowa. Lived in Iowa for 2 years. Great time. All right, let's get into Florida Gators football. I know there's going to be somebody in the chat that says this is when they talk about football. So just so you don't have to look up, it's about 51 minutes and 27 seconds in to the show. The Gators hosted a number of official visitors this weekend from June 7th to June 9th. I'm going to run through this list, so bear with me. Five-star Solomon Thomas, who's committed to Florida State. He's right now between Florida State, and LSU. Five-star wide receiver Caleb Cunningham from Ackerman High School in Mississippi. Trey McNutt, five-star safety from Shaker Heights High School in Ohio. Four-star wide receiver Cortez Mills from Homestead. Three-star tight end Hollis Davidson from Peachtree. Four-star tight end Andrew Olesh from Pennsylvania. Four-star interior offensive lineman Micah DeBose from Mobile, Alabama. Four-star edge Caleb Falk from Alabama. He's an Auburn commit. Four-star cornerback and son of the senior Ben Hanks Jr. from Booker T. Washington High School. Four-star defensive lineman and commit Jalen Wiggins from Rickards High School over in Tallahassee. Three-star linebacker Miles Johnson, who's an Alabama commit, but it does seem like he might be a guy that you might see in this recruiting class here soon. Three-star interior offensive lineman John Mills from St. Ignatius College Prep in San Francisco, California. Say what?
That boy's a unit, man.
Yeah, he's huge. Yeah. And then five-star punter and 4.5-star kicker Alex Asparoff from Fresno, California, who was also offered by Alabama this weekend, was in town. So, gentlemen, Nick, I know you were busy. Silk, I know that you knew a few of these names here. Let's run through a few. Who are you excited about? Who do you think are the must-gets? Anything that you guys are – that sticks out to you from that list?
I mean, of course, Ben Hanks Jr. That's one we want in the fold, legacy. We'll see how that all plays out. But that John Mills kid, when I seen a picture of him on the timeline, I was like, yeah, that's how you mold an anchor on your offensive line. So that was my biggest catch of the weekend of the pictures and any content I seen was how big he was, and we got to get him in the fold. Like,
yeah, let's just pull up that photo. Because Nick, you might have missed this photo. This is a unit, as they say. This kid looks like he's ready to move Syracuse? Some things.
Oh no, the linebacker! From, I saw a picture of a linebacker.
He's from San Francisco.
Oh, look at this! That's a grown man. I don't know what they feed him or like who raised him. That is a grown man. That's a child.
Honestly, I think it's just bags of corn. He gets fed like an actual like farm animal. You're just dumping bags of food.
I don't think sloppy. That's how they feed people in San Francisco, Nick.
Oh, well, it's organic, and it's organic corn.
Organic corn, yeah.
Of course, farm to table corn. In San Francisco.
It's not a lot of bad weight right there, bro. He's
that's well just a big together. Dude.
Yeah, I had to go check out his tape. Tape checks out as well. Get that kid on my campus. Pay him in whatever he wants.
Corn. It's corn.
Yeah.
So going through that list again, Obviously, Solomon Thomas, a five-star interior or a five-star offensive lineman. He's from Raines High School in beautiful Jacksonville, Florida. Right now, committed to Florida State. I know that he visited LSU last weekend. I believe spoke very, very highly about that. I think somebody's got him on flip watch. I think it's either going to be an LSU or Florida battle, but obviously still committed to Florida State. And anything can change. He said that he has got a great connection to the coaches at the University of Florida. But right now, 6'4", 315 pounds. Silk, he, guess how big he was when he started playing football in eighth grade?
Shoot. I can't guess. This is 6'1"?
6'4". 280 pounds
in eighth grade.
In eighth grade, there's probably no way he not played, running did a 4-minute mile.
They let him play with children and stuff like that. Like he was allowed. Yeah. They didn't have weight limits.
No, you have to have weight limits. He's not in it.
They don't have him in my son's league. They do not have weight. No, crazy. Once you start traveling, maybe in like the city leagues, they have weight limits, but on the travel teams, you know, it's like, but if I was to see a kid that big, I'm definitely pulling my son out of that league. If he's 6'4", 280 pounds, I don't need him laying on Harlem, bro. Like,
No, I got you. It's crazy. I got you. Nick shared this, this photo. Here's Ben Hanks Jr. with Ben Hanks Sr., very noted former Florida Gators defensive player, legend, and then of course the old ball coach there in the middle would be great to get. I know Florida
Ben
right
Hanks
now,
Senior played for Spurrier, right?
Correct.
Wore number 11, which was only unretired because of Spurrier. That would be wild to get Ben Hanks Jr. down in Gainesville wearing Dad's number, wearing Steve's number.
Yep. Was I think he left the year that the Gators lost in Nebraska. So was not a national champion, but a great linebacker, played a few seasons in the NFL and then played a few seasons in the NFL Europe leagues, played on the Rhein Fire. Danny Werfel also played on the Rhein Fire. There is a little nugget of information back in the day. So that's where they're at. Ben Hanks, again, a top 100 player in the country right now. Right now, if you look at the prediction machine for him, lots of things going towards Miami right now for him. But he said that Florida is right up there in his commitment. So that would be obviously great to see. In other breaking news, the Gators – we'll be receiving an official visit from the number one overall linebacker and on threes rankings, Ty Jackson, 6'1¼", 197 pounds from Seminole Ridge High School in Loxahatchee, Florida. Shout out Silt. He is going to be visiting Florida instead of Florida State this weekend. Georgia, Penn State, Alabama, involved heavily in his recruitment, but, that's where Florida sits right now when it comes to recruiting.
Hold on. Pull this kid up, Dan. This is the picture I was talking about. This is a Clemson linebacker commit. This is a high school. This man has not started. Man, grown man.
You might be right.
Has not started his senior year of high school yet. Just
while I do that, Jeremy Carpenter asked where we stood with Ernest Graham's son. He's on campus, Miles Graham. So Florida stands in a great spot to have him play.
He might be talking health wise. He did have a surgery. He should be back and ready for fall camp and ready to, you know, do what he got to do. I expect him to contribute this fall and be in that linebacker rotation and also some special teams and whatnot. But yeah, we nabbed him. Welcome back.
Hayes Fawcett blocked me on Twitter, Nick, because who's the other national recruiting writer for?
That laugh was diabolical, man.
No, who's the other recruiting writer for On Three National guy besides Will Farm?
Chad Simmons.
Chad Simmons. There was an article, or somebody
there's
put
just
out
a link to the story there, Dan. No,
it said Shannon Terry. Steve Wilfong and Miles Graham like the best three covering recruiting. And I said, one of these is not like the other. Didn't tag him. He got upset about it. So let me switch accounts here real quick. It's not something I'm proud of, but just
you couldn't open it. You couldn't open it, the tweet.
No, so I had to go to the Stadium and Gale account. Yeah. All right. So good Lord. All right. So while I pull this up, this is a 6'1", 221-pound linebacker. His name is Antoine Desolores. He's from Montreal, Quebec. I'm going to be there on Wednesday.
You might have to get the birth certificate.
He's foreign. That. All right. So
he might be 30.
He might be. He might get.
Let's get a better version of this photo.
Looking forward to Silk being introduced to Antoine here.
Watch this. Some guy I went to high school with.
I don't think so.
Holy
That's a junior in high school. That is what the linebacker you make in NCAA football, college football looks like. That's a junior in high school.
I know Latimer when I see him. They testing this kid?
Apparently not.
What?
That's why.
This guy just spends the entire winter in the weight room.
His entire life can't go outside.
Yeah. That's nuts. All right. So
this kid's film, man. Shout out to the car behind him. They got the thing in the IPF. Cars in the IPF. We need to step our game up.
I think I'm done with the Lamborghini photo shoots. I saw Clemson just had an absolute army of Lamborghinis, like leading
Clemson or Texas.
Texas. Sorry, I'm still here in Clemson.
Yeah, Dabo is definitely not with that, man. Name, image, Christ is his bag.
We talked about, like, is Florida State their transfer portal thing sustainable? What Dabo's doing is not sustainable. Zero transfer portal kids will play for
did
Clemson.
Did you see? Trust the guy, man. Did you see the person that superimposed Jack Caglione running over Dabo Sweeney on Twitter yesterday?
Yeah, I
did. Did you see this?
No, I did not.
All right, I'll find it real quick. Nick, we're going to hop back to baseball real quick. I'm going to catch you off guard here for a second. Gators got a couple guys to commit in baseball from the transfer portal.
Yes. So it's a weird timeline for Florida or for any of the teams still playing, really. Transfer portal opened a week ago today, June 3rd. There's more than 3,500 guys in the portal. This will be the last year that you have COVID guys in baseball in the transfer portal. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. But the Gators, if you look at their team, need infielders. You're going to lose both your starting. You're going to lose both your third baseman. You're going to lose Jack Caglione. You had a freshman corner infielder, John Martinez, transfer. Colby Shelton, the starting shortstop, is draft eligible. So there's a potential that Florida only brings back two infielders. So they've gone heavy in the infield. The first player they got a commitment from is Justin Nadeau from JU. Solid defensive player. I think he hit .395, .42, .521 last year. 11 of 12 on steal attempts. Typical leadoff hitter, infielder. And then they got a player who was from Florida, born in Winter Park, grew up in Georgia, played his freshman year in Lubbock, Texas, Texas Tech, and that's Landon Stripling. Played in 33 games last year. He hit .253, 20 RBI, three doubles, and 17 walks. Numbers were a little bit low. I think that's just because it's your first year. This is a kid who, when I went back and read some stuff about him as a high school player, was thought to be a potentially high enough draft pick out of high school to go and start and skip college altogether, but wanted to play college baseball. So a great pickup for Florida. They're going to need to continue hitting the transfer portal, and it's tough because other schools can host visits. Florida's going to have to try to get a couple kids on campus within the next Tuesday, today or Tuesday, because they'll be leaving for Omaha either Wednesday or Thursday. So it's
you can't keep like a coach back for a day and just send like the PJ up to Omaha on like a Friday morning.
No, they send a lot of people to Omaha. Last year, they
borrow one of Billy guys.
Last year, there's somebody over there in football. Yeah,
come on. Army, just show them around, you know? We just need someone with the keys to the golf cart. You know what I mean? Man, like, yeah, hop on a Zoom, be like, hey, sorry, I wish I could be there. I'm in Omaha, right? And most times you'd be like, man, that kind of stinks. But for baseball, it's great.
Trav said he tagged you in the video.
Dan. Yeah, no, I got it sitting up here. I just want to get the baseball.
But so like last year, I'm talking to one of Florida's coaches, and they're out in Omaha, and Billy Amick, who was a Clemson player, All American, I think, all ICC for sure. I think he was an All American, is texting with Chuck, trying to set up a visit to come see Gainesville, and they're just like, we have no idea when we'll be back in Gainesville to host you on the visit. We'd love to. Amick was very close to committing to Florida, ended up committing to the Tennessee Vols. So Florida will see him back out there.
Yeah. Nick, is this comment about baseball where it says it's crazy how big UF's guys are? 6 guys, 6'5", 1 guy, 6'8", multiple guys, 6'4".
Say that again.
Is this comment?
I think that's football.
Okay. Yeah, I know Florida's recruiting a lot of tall guys. And yeah. Silk, here's the – sorry, I should know the context. It's been a little while. Here's the video, Silk. Thing, that's a fantastic use of the internet.
No, that's hilarious.
Did not get enough likes and retweets. So go to this account here. It's
I follow that guy.
Yeah, KELNPLAY, Kellen Play. Go retweet that. Only 61 retweets, 373 favorites. Gotta see more than that. So that's where we find ourselves, gentlemen. End of the show. Quick ad read. We'll take us out.
There we go. There's one we're waiting on. Miami infielder Blake Sear just committed. I'm just trying to run this story now. But breaking news while on the show.
Hold on, Nick. Hold on.
Hit the breaking news horn.
Yeah, I got to hit the – oh. Yeah, let's get that ready. A quick delay here.
Sorry, Dan.
Yeah. we got work on sound effects for sure.
Yeah, we'll get sound effects ready. Nick, what was that? We have breaking news here. Breaking news on the show.
Yeah, Blake Sear, who is a infielder from Miami, just announced that he is committing to Florida. Last year, broke his thumb, hit 284, 397, 537, but as a freshman, hit 306, hit 17 home runs, drove in 63 RBIs, was one of the best hitters in the ACC. It's a power bat.
I think I remember that name from the game we went to.
He was not the right fielder.
No, he was not the right fielder. No, that guy is over at Enterprise. He was the one that helped Texas get all those Lamborghinis. Okay. In the Enterprise Leadership Development Program. All right, guys, let's get out of here. Like I said, we'll probably switch to more night episodes. May not be every week, but probably going to shift back to the evening time for Stadium and Gale. So we appreciate everybody for watching. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure you share with your friends, family, and especially share the beginning part of the show with your Clemson friends. Let them know that the sanctity of baseball matters, and we care a lot about this on this program. As always, final ad read. Give a quick shout-out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com. Let them know we sent you. We're going to get you a code out there to get you some discounts and things of that nature here soon. But we appreciate the fine folks at Alumni Hall. So if you're in Gainesville, they're right on Archer Road, or go visit them online, alumnihall.com. Anything that you need from polos to T-shirts to College World Series paraphernalia, women's College World Series stuff, grilling accessories, tailgate supplies, whatever you might need, the fine folks over at Alumni Hall will take care of you. Trav said he will see you at Omaha, Nick. Harrison from his chateau in Vail says hello. And go pick. Gators.
That's a new pick from Harrison, I think. Hey, Father's Day is Sunday. Make sure y'all give your fathers the same love y'all give y'all mothers, man. You know, make sure that man is cool. Give him some, like, just send him long texts. Don't send him socks.
I've already been informed not to expect anything on Father's Day. Despite... That's despite giving my beautiful pregnant wife a gift on Mother's Day. I've been told maybe next year. So what rings true in my head now is when I asked you what the difference is between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Love, and you just dropped a 4-letter word on me. Love. Yeah.
Love.
You know what?
Love, care, all of that, bro. You can walk into a restaurant. You don't have to make reservations on Father's Day. You can just walk into anywhere and get a table wherever you want to sit, man.
It's kind of hey, nuts. Can you seat 12? Yeah, no problem. Whole place is open. Go ahead.
Whole place
is open. Even give you a discount. All right.
Thank you so much for coming in. We've been dead.
All right. We will get out of here today. Nick, enjoy your time in Omaha. Hopefully it's not a quick trip for you. Silk, we'll see you next week. Corey, we'll see you next week. And thanks everybody for watching. We're going to get us out of here with there's a song by Bailey Zimmerman, who Nick likes, I know, called Religiously. We had to throw a little twist on it. There's a there's a new group in the EDM space, and the subgenre that they're in is called YEDM. So we're going to play
country EDM.
So this is Vavo and Diplo doing Religiously by Bailey Zimmerman. So I think you guys will enjoy it. It's a fun, upbeat vibe, even if you don't like country music. So, gentlemen, we will see you next week. Nick, enjoy your travels. And everybody, thanks for watching.
I went looking at pictures I didn't want to see. They brought back memories. You look happy, I guess. Got the life that you wanted, but it ain't with me. You would think by now that I wouldn't care. It's been a couple years and yeah, I've had my share of other broken up hearts, but I only shed real tears over words. Now I'm in this cold bright light. Healthy and I'm helping out the whole family. A lot of people know my name. I made a